What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Alex Da Silva Podcast. We hope you are well and having an amazing day, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave a comment on whatever platform you're listening. Now, let's get on with the show with your host, Alex Da Silva.
What's going on, everyone? I hope you are well and you're having an amazing day, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. Today, I'm doing my first live, doing this on my own because I'm testing it. And I just want to see how it all works. It's a little bit nerve-wracking. This is my 41st episode. But I hope that you're really enjoying life. I hope everything is good. Today, the conversation for me is updating on my Call to Requirement journey. So anybody that hasn't learned about my journey, hasn't kind of experienced it, back in September 23, I was diagnosed with a very rare spinal condition called Call to Requirement syndrome, and it affects the lower lumbar. And my disc herniated backwards and it trapped the Call to Requirement nerve, which is responsible for pretty much everything below the waist. So bowel, bladder, legs, sensations, movement, you name it. And I had to have emergency surgery. It left me paralyzed from the waist down. I woke up post-surgery, although the surgery went amazingly well. I had what they call a full Call to Requirement. And I woke up, looked down, and my muscles had completely switched off, including my bowel, bladder. Both my feet were completely numb. My legs stopped working. And 6 months on, I'm walking. I'm moving around now, around my house, with no assistance. My left, both my feet had dropped, but now both my feet had woken up. My right foot is strong. I don't need to wear a splint on that. And my left one is still, although it started to move, I'm still wearing a splint, but it's an ankle splint. So something that, you know, it's not very visible. And it's been a journey. It's been a real, real tough journey, mentally, physically, spiritually. It's been tough, but it's been one that I accepted, one that I'm now really grateful and really thankful for, because it has taught me so much about myself. It has taught me so much about who I am as an individual, and also what I'm capable of. And I think it's so important, you know, for me to share this, because I'm not the kind of person to do too many videos. I'm not a fan of kind of posting myself doing things. And I had my last session with my physio, and she's going on maternity leave, and we had a session yesterday, and she's incredible. She absolutely beasts me, which I enjoy. I've always been into fitness, and I've always liked sort of working out and challenging myself. And this has been my, you know, biggest challenge yet. And I rose to the occasion, because I didn't give myself another choice. There was no options for me. There was no accepting that I might never walk again. That's not an option for me. There was no option for me to accept that, you know, I may be restricted. That's not an option for me. So I decided to keep going. You know, I decided to go with this. I decided to trust this process and to keep moving forward. And I've been working with this incredible physio, who has done an incredible has done some incredible work in helping me to walk again. You know, when the doctors were, I was in hospital for 5 weeks, and, you know, they said to me, well, you know, as doctors and nurses and the physio, you know, they all say, well, you know, you've got to accept that, you know, you may not get full, you know, mobility, or you may, you know, your bowel and bladder may not work. And I didn't accept any of those things. And I told them all from the beginning, I'm not accepting that. I'm recovering 100%. and I'll be stronger than I've ever been. And I kept saying it and saying it. And I was in hostel for 5 weeks, and I walked out of there with, with a Zimmer frame. And ever since I've been home, I've just been working every single day to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's now been 6 months, and I'm walking. I no longer use the Zimmer frame. I went from the Zimmer frame to using two crutches, and then from two crutches to one. And now I just have a hiking stick, hiking pole. That's it. And I use that pretty much just to help me balance, as I continue rebuilding my muscles and rebuilding strength, mobility and stability. And it's been a real learning curve, a real learning curve. And one of the things that I've learned with this condition, and everybody's condition is so different. That's one of the things that I've learned, is how different we all are. Every single person that I've spoken to on a podcast has had a different experience, and I've experienced things in a different way. Some people still struggle with certain things, and there've been other people, because I've been part of some communities, and a lot of these people talk about, some people have been paralyzed forever, no bowel, no bladder control, because the nerve had severed. They got left for too long. This affects 6 in a million people, so it's extremely rare. It's extremely rare. And unfortunately, the diagnosis with this can be really delayed, because the way that this happens, and again, every single person is different, but how it happened to me is I just started to get some back pain. Started to get some back pain. Eventually it went, and then it came back. I started to see a chiropractor. I won't talk about that journey. That's on the podcast. And it sort of got better slightly. But then the week leading up to, the week prior to me having the operation and being diagnosed, I got sciatica. And I've had sciatica before. I've done martial arts. I used to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and I had my bouts of sciatica, whilst training. And sciatica is not fun. It's not fun. It's really painful. So I knew what to do, and I tried to kind of work with that. Like I said, I went to see this chiropractor, which was recommended. Unfortunately, things just got worse. The sciatica got worse, the pain got worse, and it eventually I started to get tingling sensations on my right foot, my right toe. The big toe started to go numb, which I thought was strange. But I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's just a trapped nerve. Maybe, I'm sitting on something, and I kept communicating this to the chiropractor, and it kept reassuring me, don't worry, we're working, we're manipulating, everything will improve. I trusted the process. And eventually, towards the end of that week, which was a Friday, I was in so much agony. My right foot, by the end of the day, my right foot dropped. And by the time I got home, and I live on the second floor, and by the time I climbed up, the steps, I was carrying two trays of eggs. There must be, what, 32, maybe 40 eggs, in this, like, a big tray. And I was carrying two of them, so it's not very heavy. And I said to my wife, you need to take these off of me. And I collapsed on the floor, and I just burst into tears. So we called the ambulance, and again, the story is there. But yeah, the paramedics turned up, and they refused to take me to the hospital. And this is because the diagnosis, because this is so rare, they have to go by certain tick boxes. But when we phoned the emergency services, they already started talking about it, because I said my foot had dropped. My foot was completely numb. I've started to get numbness on my legs. Then my left foot now has started to tingle as well. The same thing started to happen to my left foot. And by the time the ambulance turned up, my groin started to feel numb. And as I understand it today, just with that, having spoken to other nurses and medical practitioners, and even the paramedics that took me from the hospital that I was in to another hospital where I went to have the surgery, the two incredible people that were in the ambulance with me were fuming, because they should never have refused to take me. So, cut the story short, by Monday now, I then had a friend who's incredible, came over, had took one look at me and said, this is not sciatica, mate, this is called a requina. He tried to, he's a physio as well, tried to do some very light work to see whether we can, you know, loosen up. And he said, your body's gone into hypertension, your muscles are so tight, I don't want to do anything just in case. And this is, as I understand today, this is what the chiropractor should have done. This is what, you know, the ambulance services, this is what they should have done. They should have just taken me and referred me straight to the hospital to have an MRI scan. So I get there, go through the whole process, and here we are today, you know, 6 months later. Because of the delays, I ended up with full quarter requina. You know, had I have gone into hospital on that Friday, they would have done the operation and I would have, you know, I would have walked out, you know, not have been completely paralyzed. So it was frightening being a strong man who has always done, you know, I've done martial arts, I've always been into fitness, I've always worked out, I've always looked after myself. And it's been, it was a shock to the system, you know, absolute shock to the system. I'm 43, I'll be 44 this year. And it was frightening to wake up post-op, look down at myself and go, what the fuck has just happened to me? I'm completely paralyzed from the waist down. And no movements on my legs. My feet were completely numb. The muscles on my legs are completely shut off. And if you've never experienced anything like that, when your muscles switch off, they switch off. It's not like they just shrink. They go completely gone, absolutely gone. And it was a really frightening experience, really frightening experience. But there was something in me that even when I was waiting for the operation, there was just a sense of peace, you know, a sense of peace there. And when I had the operation, I came out, you know, and I came around the next day and I was felt very calm, but I felt very clear. So the journey began, you know, in 6 months now, as I said, I'm walking, my feet have woken up, my left foot has got a little bit of catching up to do. I keep doing the exercises and massaging and doing everything that I can. I went to the gym this morning and, you know, things are happening. Things are moving along. Why? Because I never gave up. Never gave up. And I've been through, you know, addiction. I've had, you know, I've had overdoses. I've been addicted to, you know, all sorts of things: drug, alcohol, porn, relationships, you name it. And I came into recovery. I'll celebrate 8 years, you know, this year, which is incredible. And I've learned. I started to learn through this process, you know, to work on myself, to learn about, you know, my worthiness, being, you know, having that self-worth. And it takes time. Things don't just happen overnight. And I knew this was going to be no different, you know, but one of the things that I did first and foremost is I created a plan. I created a plan. I said to myself, I'm going to walk again 110% and I will be stronger than I have ever been, ever been. Why? Because that's my goal. I accept nothing less. And that has never changed, never, ever changed. And I worked with the physio at the hospital and they started to create some, you know, plans for me. And I started to do that, started to do it every single day. And then I wrote out a plan every day. I had a plan and my plan was basic. That's where it started. It started with waking up, gratitude, thanks. Started to use affirmations. I'm a coach, by the way. If this is your first time tuning in, if you've never heard me before, I'm a coach. I do breath work. I work with people with mind, body, spirit. That's kind of where my focus is. I like to help people to become stronger in those areas. So for me, mindset is everything. And this, as I understand it today, is a challenge that was given to me by me, my higher self, as I understand, to put this to the test, put it to the test, show the world if it really works. And I wasn't showing the world, I was showing me. I had to show me if my own stuff worked, because I'm a believer that, you know, proof's in the pudding, you know, and you should only teach what you practice. And I had to really put my practices into play. So that's what I did. Gratitude, thanks, and affirmations. And my affirmations were in the present moment. You know, my body's healed. I'm recovered 110%. I'm stronger than I've ever been. And I would talk to my feet. I would talk to my legs. I would talk to my bowel, my bladder. And I would affirm that they're working and they're functioning and everything is moving. Everything is working in perfect order. And I did this even today. I still do it today. And it has not failed me. And that was kind of the first part. The second part is I spent time with my family. You know, if my family couldn't come and see me, we'd jump on a Zoom, I have breakfast with them. And whilst I'm having breakfast, I started doing some dips on, you know, those kind of hospital chairs. And I would just sit there and just do dips. And I started, the only thing I could do was about probably 50. And then by the end, I was doing 200 over, you know, and I would do this daily and as well as my other exercises. I had nothing else to do. I had nothing else to do. I was made redundant from a job that I had before, and I started my own recruitment agency, started to do incredibly well, and then all of a sudden I'm in hospital and I had no time to work on a business because my number one thing was walking again, recovering and walking out of there and, you know, just rebuilding myself. You know, I have four incredible children. I have a beautiful wife. I have, you know, a wonderful life. And this is not going to stop me from living that. I'm going to use this as a tool and as an experience to hopefully help someone, you know, moving forward. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I just stuck with it. And there were days where, you know, especially when I came home, where I couldn't pick up my son. My son's two, my daughter's five. And then I have two older ones who are 26 and 19. I don't need to pick them up. You know, the two little ones is so hard because I love playing with them. You know, I love being involved. You know, I'm very hands-on, and that really hurt me. You know, it really hurt me, really affected me. And I struggled with that mentally at times. And I would get angry because kids play, you know, and they're, especially my son, he's at that age where he's inquisitive and he's exploring everything now, everything he wants to explore, and he's pulling things. And I can't just get up and go, come on, kiddo, you don't need to do that. And I found myself shouting, just shouting to get their attention because I didn't want him to hurt himself. Not that I was angry at him. I was angry at myself because I felt useless. I was paralyzed. I couldn't walk properly. You know, I'm having to use a Zimmer frame. I could just about get out, you know, get off the sofa, let alone do anything else. So it was hard. You know, it was really, really tough to go through that, you know, and experience this journey. But the hard work, you know, pays off. And then it paid off. It paid off in ways that I didn't expect. One of the things I didn't do is I didn't set a timeline, because I also understand that I would have to continue doing this every single day, because I've heard of other people. And this is, again, as I understand now, this is extremely rare for your disc to herniate again and for it to, you know, for you to then have to, you know, have another operation. And I've heard in these groups, you know, of these incredibly extremely rare cases where it herniates again, and these people have to have, you know, more surgery, and they have to have their discs fused, and none of that stuff was an option for me. So, you know, I continued doing, you know, the exercises, and the exercises eventually got better. There were things that I could never do, whereas now it's kind of just become very normal, and we take things for granted. You know, we really take things for granted. I never thought I'd have to learn to walk again. I'd be in this situation. I'd feel the way that I felt, you know, but I had to put myself in a position where I would have to work at this. I would have to put the effort in. I would have to, you know, to just knuckle down, as they say, and work again. And the work has paid off, you know, and I've shared my story. I used this platform to be able to share my story, because I think sometimes just writing posts doesn't have the same effect. And I'll be honest, there were times, you know, where I was because some people get affected in different ways, and obviously they have their own mental health issues and things that are going on for them, and their own traumas. You know, this is an incredibly life-changing experience, and some people didn't like it. They didn't like me sharing it, and they felt really hurt by some of the things that I was sharing. And I was only trying to share positivity, you know, and share my wins, so to speak. And I learned over time, you know, to be more compassionate and not to sort of overshare on things. So I stopped sharing things every day. I had to just focus on me, and I used this platform in order to be able to do it, you know. And I wanted to do this 6 months update because it's huge, you know. It's such a huge thing to be walking, you know, in such a short space of time. And I laugh now that I look at my son and he's now running around, and I'm behind him now in the walking stages. I feel like a baby. And that's pretty much how I was. I woke up and I'd lost 7 kilos of weight, and it's just muscle that switched off, everything that switched off. And I jumped on a scale yesterday. I went to the gym, not yesterday, the day before, on a Monday, jumped on a scale, and I'm regaining that weight back up. Why? Because I'm rebuilding the muscles. I'm rebuilding those muscles. And for those of you who are going through the Call to Recliner journey, who have been through the Call to Recliner journey, if you are able to move and you have weakness, some people, and this is obviously not for you, if you've, you know, if your nerve is severed completely and you know you have been left paralyzed, unfortunately, this is not gonna be for you. But for those who have got some kind of mobility, I'd invite you to work with a good neuro physio who understands this and is able to work with you to see whether your muscles are twitching. If your muscles are twitching, it means that they're working. And that's one of the things that I've realized, you know, working with my physio. She would feel the muscles, you know, on my hamstrings, my glutes, especially glutes and hamstrings, especially because that completely switched off. I had, and obviously, you know, my calves and my feet. So the number one thing was, are the muscles twitching? As soon as we discovered, yeah, they're twitching, I'm like, good. So that means things are working then. And I knew from then. And that just spurred me on even more, even more, even more to keep doing it. So I'd invite you to go and find somebody that will get you out of your comfort zone, because being comfortable isn't going to get you to where you want to be. And I've had to really work to get there. And it's been tough, but it's been worth it. It's been worth it, you know, 110%. And one of the things that I'd like to do with this platform and with other things moving forward is to help people with Call to Recliner who have been left. Because unfortunately, and this is not just in the UK where I am, I see this in the US. I've interviewed people in the US, I've interviewed people in the UK, I've spoken to people all over the world. And I see it, how the system, the medical system, fails them. And they almost try to fail me. But one of the things I say to people is, speak up. Speak up, find your confidence, do the things you need to do for yourself, because no one's going to come and save you. No one's going to come and save you. You have to do this for yourself. So, whatever you need, you've got to ask for it. And sometimes you've got to demand it. And that's what I had to do. I had to demand the physios to work with me. I had to demand the physios to show up at the hospital because, you know, unfortunately, and I'm sure this is, you know, globally as well, they are stretched. Overly stretched, understaffed, and overly stretched. And, you know, I demanded it because I needed it, I wanted it, and I didn't also want to be, you know, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be there. There are other people that, you know, needed that bed. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to get my ass out of bed, do the stuff that I needed to do so I can get stronger. And hopefully somebody who really, really needs it as well can come in and have the care that they deserve. So, you know, that was kind of the mind, you know, that was the process for me. And I had to really, really work at it every day to stay focused, to stay positive, because it is tough. It is tough and it's lonely. It is really lonely. No one will ever understand this unless you've gone through it yourself. Nobody will ever understand this. No one will ever understand mentally how it feels. No one will understand bodily, physically how this feels. You know, and I'm one of these people where I push myself. You know, I like to push myself. I like to keep moving things. I like to, you know, always set goals for myself. I always like to kind of achieve and overachieve. But I've learned, even through my previous mistakes, you know, not to overdo it. You know, this is a long journey now. This is an ongoing journey because, as I mentioned, people re-herniate. People have to go through this stuff again. And I've realized, you know, through the things that I already knew in, you know, doing, being active and being physically strong, understanding about nutrition, understanding about mindset, understanding about, you know, the how I work mechanically, how my body works, and the bowel, bladder, my legs, my glutes, my hamstrings, how everything fits together, my feet, everything. I had to just understand, and not to kind of go in and you know, and actually I did look at the, you know, the muscles and how they work, just so I can visualize my muscles and tell my muscles to grow, tell my muscles to get stronger, tell the nervous system. I looked at, you know, the caudal recliner, and I looked at how it branched out, and I looked at, you know, where it went. And I would imagine these things, you know, even now. And I talk about my feet. Every time I talk about my feet buzz because I've learned to connect with my body. And that's so important. Now, by the way, this isn't just for people who are struggling with caudal recliner. This is for you in general. You know, if you're going through a journey, as I've mentioned, I've gone through, you know, years, decades of struggling with addiction. And I use the same process, and I continue to then add to it. One of the other things that has worked for me massively, which I added to my day-to-day routine, is breath work. You know, I'm a breath work practitioner. I love breath work. It's something that it has helped me to heal, you know, in mind, body, spirit, to let go of trauma, to raise my energy, to raise, you know, my vibration, and to be able to connect with myself in ways that I never thought possible, actually never believed in, you know, to begin with. But I did it, and I kept doing it, and I just added all of these little things, you know, the gratitude, the thanks, the affirmations, the breath work, the nutrition. Obviously, when you're in hospital, nutrition is exactly great, and that's one of the things I've learned. These systems have got so much catching up to do. They've got so much learning to do, and so many things that they have to undo, because the food that they serve, the things that they do, it's not fit for purpose. It's not fit for purpose. And you know, and I've seen it where they just want to pump you with drugs, and that's what they, you know, there are certain things I needed to take, but there were other things where I said, "Do I need to have that?" And he said, "No." I said, "Okay, well, I'm not going to take it. I don't want to keep putting things into my body." So I used my nutrition. My wife was incredible. My kids were amazing. My parents, my family, even friends would just turn up and just bring me food so I can eat where I could eat healthy foods. And the foods that, you know, I eat was, or is still to this day, meat. I eat all meats, especially red meat. Red meat, you know, is you know, the best form of nutrition. You know, red meat, lamb, you know, beef, whatever, you know, whatever you can get your hands on, venison. I also eat chicken, and I eat other things as well. But these things are so high in protein, fats, nutrients, vitamins, minerals. Eggs, another one. I eat a lot of eggs. You know, and that helps me again, exactly the same thing, second to meat, so high in nutrition and fats, everything that you need. And my body soaked this stuff up, my muscles soaked this stuff up. And then just drinking, you know, loads of water, just drinking water all the time, flushing my body out, because I was putting medication into my body, and I wanted to kind of flush this stuff out as well. And also, I wanted my blood to work again. You know, I wanted to keep exercising and building the necessary muscles in order for me to get to where, you know, to my end goal, you know, and it's a continuous goal. So, you know, these things are really important, you know, meat, eggs, and I eat fruit. I have some vegetables, but fruit has been a massive one for me. And then just as I said, water, I drink raw milk, you know, raw honey, all of these things have been incredible. And it's shown, you know, in 6 months, the amount of muscle I've rebuilt, you know, to be in a position that I'm in has helped me massively, you know, and just who you surround yourself with as well is important, you know, to have the right support, the right people around you, because one of the other things as well that will affect your body, stress, anxiety, depression, you know, the energies that you surround yourself with, you know, these things will have an effect and an impact on you in mind, body, spirit, you know, and as you can tell, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. I've learned to connect with myself. And I think getting onto the world changing, you know, over the last few years, have we seen the world has changed and it will continue to change. And we're seeing it more and more and more and more that the energies are changing. We're seeing almost a conflict of energies, good and bad, you know, positive and negative. And we're seeing this chaos, this turmoil. It's almost like an explosion that is splitting the two. You know, we're splitting the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. Because if you don't understand it, I'd invite you to go and understand these things, to research this stuff. And I'm talking to someone that, you know, 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, I would tell you that this stuff is hippie shit. I would want nothing to do with it. I didn't believe any of this stuff. I was too busy getting smashed and drunk and misbehaving and doing things I shouldn't be doing. But as I understand today, even all of those things that I've done has made me who I am today, and it has helped me to become a better person. Am I perfect? No. This is the whole point of a human experience, is to have an experience, is to learn, to grow, to develop. You know, and when we make mistakes, we do what we can to change them and to learn from them and to just do the best that we can. And I've been on that journey, continue on this journey. I'm on this journey now as we speak. But one of the things that I am seeing, I went to see two friends who are incredibly, you know, beautiful human beings, Jess and Lindsay from the Conscious Heart Warriors. Give them a massive shout out. They're incredible breath workers. Honestly, these two are powerful. I went to see them for some breath work yesterday. They do rebirthing, which I love. And I have my experience yesterday was just on another level. On another level, which, you know, I'll get to, you know, on another episode. But the thing that I want to mention is this change, this shift in energy, which everybody is seeing. We're seeing the chaos. We're seeing all of these things that are happening. But with the changes, there are opportunities. There are always opportunities and opportunities for change. Now, here's the change. Is positive change or negative change? These are the two polarities in which we work with. They are the two polarities which we are. It's our makeup. It's our human makeup. It's our human makeup that allows us to have this human experience. It allows us to connect with everything, because out of this human form, this body, this mind, body, spirit complex, we're infinite beings. We're spirit. We're made out of complete unconditional love. So we don't get to really experience these things physically, to physically have these experiences. So we're here to do that. And as we've seen now with these changes, we are seeing various different forms in which we either divide or we connect. And we're seeing this more and more and more. And the world will continue to do this. Why? Because the planet, as we know, is alive. Planet Earth, Mother Earth, is alive in every single way, has been and always will be, and it continues to evolve. It evolves through polarities, you know, and we go from, sorry, densities, you know, it goes from the very first density once it was created, then into second, and then, you know, which are the kind of the animals and those beings, and then the third, which is when humans, you know, came to this planet, and we have consciousness that allows us to understand that this is who we are. Wow, we're human. I'm a man, you know, I'm a woman, whichever experience you're having. Wow, this is incredible. And we allow ourselves to then go and experience life. But the experience that we have, as I understand it today, is to reconnect with who we truly are. But we don't understand that. We completely forget what that is. And that's just part of the experience. It's part of the experience that we choose. We choose everything that happens to us, as I understood, even with this, you know, and when I speak to people, people are like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I stop them straight away. And I was like, you don't need to do that. I'm so grateful for this. And people often look at me like I'm crazy. But when I explain things to them and I understand, I said, look, I chose this. We create our blueprint of life. We create these things before we come into this form. You know, we choose every single thing that we want to experience. And there are endless, because we are infinite beings. So there are endless roads that you can take. So what we are seeing now is that these roads are now giving us an opportunity. It's given us an opportunity to either go down the positive route or the negative route, you know, which is based around, and you will see it, pay attention to the news and what's going on around the world, especially over the last few years since we had, you know, we were kind of locked down, all of these things that are going to happen then. All of a sudden, it's given a lot of people a wake-up call. So many people started to wake up. So many things started to change. And we started to realize, hang on a second, something isn't right. We've always known that. We have that gut feeling. So we know that. It's our intuition. It's that energy that we can channel, that we can connect with, that is the fight or flight, you know, is the you know, that survival mode that allows us to connect. But when you learn to connect with that at a deeper level, you'd also start to understand and realize that when things are wrong, you start to see it. And when you wake up to things, which has happened, and it continues to happen now, things are allowing people to make these choices and these decisions in which way do they want to go. So it's really important now for you to understand that no one's going to come and save you. And this is one of the things I've learned through life. No one's coming to save you. There are people that will come and support you. There's people that will come to help you on your journey. But the work has to be done by you. No one's coming to do it for you. No one's going to come and save you. This whole idea that, you know, oh, Christ is coming. No one's coming to save you. No one. You have to do this for yourself. If you're waiting for someone to come and save you, you are going to be let down. And this is what happens with people that come into religions. They expect, you know, they have this expectation that Christ is coming to save me. Christ is going to give me money. Christ is going to give you this. Christ, God is going to give you all of that. And then when it doesn't happen, because we don't take the action, we get given guidance, but we don't take the action, this happens. And it happened to me. I hated God. I hated this whole Christ, you know, all this, you know, this religious stuff. And I grew up in a Catholic family. I grew up around religion. But I went through a phase in my life when I was in pain, I was suffering, I was going through my addiction phase. And I realized that no one's coming to save me. No one's coming to save me. You've got to do this for yourself. And it sucks and it's hard, because when you're in that lower vibration, you and you're seeing everybody else's life changing, everybody else around you is succeeding, everybody else is doing well, everybody else is earning money, everybody else has got, you know, the life that they want. And you don't have these things. It's easy to go into fear, into stress, into anxiety, into depression, into jealousy, into anger, into resentment, into self-sabotage. Because these are the things that we experience when we're vibrating those lower energy levels. You know, when we're at that energy, that's what we experience. But there is always something in us that gives us another option. It gives us another way out. Because who we truly are and who we truly connect with isn't that. And I used to curse, you know, God and Christ and all sorts. What's God going to do for me? Blah, 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 blah. And oh, you put me in this place. And then I realized, actually, when I started to tune in and I started to listen to myself and I started to listen to those very quiet, gentle voices, I started to go, okay, let me give it a go. let me trust this a little bit. And it took years, and it will continue still now. I still make mistakes. I've made some huge mistakes. But it's just about recognizing them. The more and more I practice this stuff, the more and more I practice in connecting with myself and in just allowing myself to heal and to see things for what they are. We're all connected, we're all one. I started to realize that, you know, who am I to judge anybody? Everybody makes mistakes. Like, I'm not perfect by any means. I never want to be, you know, be hung on any form of pedestal. I stand on a level with everybody. Because that's how I want to be. I want to be equal to everyone. I want to help out where I can, you know, and I want to do the things that I can in order for me to grow within and externally, you know, because I have a choice in the experiences that I have. And that's one of the things I've realized is that's the power that I have. So going from being paralyzed, I realized I have this power. I'm going to use it. I'm going to do everything I can to try. I've got nothing else to lose. And I did the same thing with recovery, and I did the same thing with other, you know, with other areas in my life, and started to realize more and more and more. And the more you channel, the more you connect with those energies, you start to raise your vibration. You start to see things differently. You start to see that negative, that lower energy stuff. And what starts to happen, you can either go back into that because that's a personal choice, or you can step out of it completely. And we often step in and out. That's just part of the experience. It's part of the experience, but the choice is always ours. It's nobody else. We have to be accountable for the decisions we make. We have to be accountable for the things that we do. And again, big lessons that I've learned, you know, over time, especially recently. There are a lot of things that I need to still continue to work on, because this is an infinite, you know, experience. I have a limited amount of time here, but am I going to waste it? I want to make the absolute best of it, and you know, in just in hope that you know I might be able to help somebody not to make the same mistake, you know, to do something slightly different. So you know, the changes are happening. You know, we are splitting. The energies are splitting. You know, we are going into a place and a position where we have to take self-control. We cannot give this power away to governments and corporations and people to come and save us. Save me. Give me that medicine. Give me this food, or take that power back. And you realize the only reason they have the power is because you gave it to them in the first place. And that happens with anything in life. Anything in life. You give that power away, you gave the energy away. And when you get hurt and you get angry and you know when things happen, it's an opportunity there to learn, to look at things. So again, you know, and the more and more we're able to go within, the more and more we're able to connect with everything that we are, the more and more we're able to make different choices, to start to put boundaries in place, to start to build self-confidence, to start to build self-esteem, and continue on this journey. We still dip in and make mistakes. You know, things are going to happen. It's part of being surrounded by 8 billion people. It's not just you here. So these are things that once we truly understand who we are and understand and go within and say, I am that negative. I am that. It's exactly, it's who I am. It's within me. We all have that energy. We all have the goodness too, which is the unconditional love, the ability to not judge, to forgive, to help, to care, to be compassionate, and so much more. But we also have that negative side, to judge, to be angry, to be resentful, to be spiteful, to be evil, to hurt people, to murder, to commit crimes. But when you really understand and you truly connect with who you are, think about the worst things you've ever thought. Think about it's all there. And it begins with the thought, mind, body, spirit complex. It's what we are. The brain is one of the most powerful things that we have. And not only does it store information that we create ourselves, everything that we surround ourselves with is also being programmed into the brain. So when you start to go into that self-learning, self-mastery, which is again, it's an ongoing journey, because we're infinite beings. We can come and do this over and over and over and over again, however many times we want to. So failing is something that I used to be so petrified about. Oh, don't fail. Now I'm kind of like, fuck, okay, well, I've made a mistake. I failed. Okay, what's the solution now? I now started to really look for the solution in things, look at where I can improve, look at where I can, make positive changes. And we only do that when we connect. We continue to go within and to go within and to go within. And one of the things that it's really taught me is just to be humble, just to be really humble, because I judge, I make judgments, and I've made judgments on people. And I learn all the time, and I try to just reel it in a little bit, be mindful, think about things, try to be compassionate, be loving, be kind, forgive. I go in and try to just, because that's what this is just going in and just doing that work. You cannot expect things to just be like that, and all of a sudden you're going to be Christ consciousness and you're going to be enlightened. Man, if that's the journey, then wow, incredible, beautiful. Let's hope we all get there. But that's not like that for everybody. But what we can control is the understanding of who we are and who we all are, and what our purpose and what our reasons are for being here. We're here to have an experience. That's what we're here to do, is to have a human experience, first and foremost, as individuals. Because you are in this body, this physical form that you chose, this mind, body, spirit complex. You chose this. Accept it. Learn to love it unconditionally. Do the work to be everything that you want to be, however long it takes. Don't give up on yourself. And we have 8 billion of us currently that also need to connect. And every single one of those individuals are having their own experience. But here's where we match. We're positive and we're negative. We all are. No one's better than someone else. It's the difference is we choose with our free will, we choose to make different choices in life. All of those choices are written in the stars. They're written in our contract. They're written in our blueprint. We can change them. It doesn't have to be like that. You can make a different choice, and we see it all the time. Somebody who, I've seen it in so many podcasts, people that were gangsters and they did this, all of a sudden their lives completely changed. People who were addicts ended up being in recovery. I see it all the time. And they call it miracles. You are the miracle. It's not that you are any less or any more than anybody else. You have that power, that gift, like everybody else does. The only difference is where you're channeling the energy, what you are choosing to do, what you are choosing to learn, where you are choosing to put your energy, where you are choosing to put your time. There are certain things that, of course, happens to us when we are unable to look after ourselves, that we're unable to protect ourselves. But as I've learned and continue to learn, we choose these experiences because we cannot have these experiences outside of the body. So we made these pacts with every single person that we come across, regardless of what happens to us, because we want to experience that. And honestly, there are certain things that have happened, with regards to myself, with addiction, with abuse, mentally, physically, sexually. And at first, when I started to learn these things, work with plant medicine, and when I started to learn these things and go into these journeys and started to kind of uncover these things, it made me feel sick. Why would I choose to allow somebody to do that to me? Why would I allow somebody to punish me? Why would I allow somebody to do that? But yet, we still allow that to happen in relationships, in workplaces, in friendships. We still allow ourselves, it may be in a slightly different way, but the energy, the emotional punishment, still the same. We're still allowing ourselves to do that. So why is that? Why is that? What is it that we still need to learn? What is it that we still need to uncover? What is it that we're not accepting? And I had to ask myself all of these questions and start to really go within and start to learn and understand, why am I still attracting these people? What mistakes am I making? What am I doing wrong? And not so much from right or wrong are the choices that we make, positive and negative. And I started to learn about not punishing myself, not beating myself up. And I would do that regularly because that was part of my conditioning. But any form of conditioning, especially when it's brain related and body related, it can change. We can change. Anybody can change. You have to do it. That's the difference. No one's going to do it for you. And this is what's happening with the world. The world is now putting us in a position that we must change. Now, no one's going to force you to do anything. That's up to you. You have that choice. You have the free will. Whatever you choose to do, whatever you choose to accept, and whatever you choose to ignore, it's okay. It's okay. But understand one thing. You are making the choices. No government's telling you what to do. There's no army that's telling you what to do. There's no corporation that's telling you what to do. They're very clever in the way that they use tactics and manipulation and, you know, fear tactics, especially fear, because it's the easiest way to control someone. You install enough fear and trauma, and then you see people sat up there, you know, oh, we'll save you. We'll put these things in place. And all of a sudden you start to realize that all of these things that we're putting in place are actually just to control us and manipulate us. People talk about slavery, things that are going to happen, you know, 500, 600 years ago. Trace it back to thousands of years ago. Slavery was happening back then. How the humans were created. We were initially slaves to higher beings. So this has never changed. It continued. But what has changed is the formula, it's the process, it's the system. That's what's changed. But what's happening now is we are being made to see in plain sight what's happening. And we now get to choose. Which world do you want to live in? Which world do you want to create? And that's completely up to you. Do you want to create a world that's positive, filled with love and light, and connection and community and unity, where we all learn, grow, and develop and evolve? Or do you want to go down the other road? Which, as you see what happens, you know, with all the fear and the anxiety and the awful things that happen. And there are people that get caught up in these wars and all of these things that are happening around the world. But all of these things are aligned. Every single one of these things happened for a reason. Every single one of those individuals, men, women, children, babies, every single one of them chose that path. Why? Because it's part of our learning, growing, and developing. We all choose to teach each other. That's what we are. We're students and teachers, student and teachers. And when you start to learn and understand these things, it's so painful, but it's so freeing. Because this is where you then gain that power. Because you go, well, okay, so if I have the power to do that, I'm going to stop this. Then you go and find somebody. You start to vibrate at a different energy. And this is what's happening right now. We're seeing these wars in different countries where people are, you know, are dying. They chose that for us to see, to be able to go, I don't want this anymore. I'm sick and tired of this stuff. I want to change. So let's change. Make those changes. Connect with yourself. Learn, grow, develop, heal, continue healing. Don't be afraid. You don't. You have nothing to fear. Fear is an illusion. Fear is a complete illusion. It's self-manifested. And when you allow yourself to understand that, there is a purpose to fear, and it's survival. When you're having to survive, when something's happening, and you're having to, you know, run, fight, flight, freeze, your life depends on it. Okay, that's real. Because now this, it means, okay, we need to do something. But the fear that's being created to keep us enslaved, to keep us low, that stuff is an illusion. You have a control. You have the control. It's completely up to you. What do you want to do? More importantly, what are you going to do? Have an amazing day. And I hope that you've enjoyed today. Thank you so much for listening, for being part of this incredible journey. And I wish you all the love, all the light, all the success in the world, you know, and that your journey continues to flourish in everything that you do. I'll speak to you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to find out more about how you can overcome issues caused by mental health, go to alexdesilva.co.uk. That's www.alexdesilva.co.uk. See you on the next one. Be great, be fantastic, and be absolutely phenomenal. Take care.